God bless you today, beloved, in the marvelous name of Jesus. Man, I was listening to a wonderful message this morning by Billy Graham, and he was talking about Solomon and how Solomon tried everything that a man could try. He had everything a man could ever have. Everything. He tried it all, and he said it's all empty. One of the things he didn't mention, though, Solomon also said that don't be too religious. He said, don't be too religious and don't be too wicked. You know, I mean, but that was the life of Adam, of course. Solomon could not have the life of Jesus. He couldn't have that. Why? Because Jesus hadn't went to the cross. And so sin had not been paid for where it could be removed and eradicated. So nobody in the Old Testament could be born again. They could have the Spirit. That's a misconception. You've probably heard before that Old Testament people couldn't be filled with the Spirit. That's not true. They could be filled with the Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible said John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit. Very clear, filled with the Spirit in his mother's womb. He was Spirit-filled. So the difference of the believers in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant is not the filling of the Spirit of God, the infilling of the Spirit of God. The difference is that in the New Covenant, we can receive a brand new life. We don't just get filled with the Holy Spirit so that our life can be better. We can receive the life of Jesus Christ now as our own. It is much, much different. But back to Solomon, he was talking about how Solomon tried it all and everything was empty. Everything about this life is empty, and then we die. I mean, it's kind of a sad picture, but it's true. It's the truth. And then he started talking about sin and repenting of our sins. And I heard what I've heard so often that many people preach constantly, and they think it represents the gospel, that we need to repent of our sins and make Jesus the Lord of our life. Now, I want to challenge you to really think about that and study the scriptures and pray and ask God, is that really the gospel? Where does the Bible say that? And the scriptures that may sound like they're saying something similar to that, I would challenge you to meditate on those and really look at the context and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what's actually being taught, what's actually being said. I'll give you a few examples, like where did they get repent of sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life? First, repent of sin, they get that from Jesus preached repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Peter preached, when they said, how can we get saved? Peter preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's mainly where they get that from, what Peter was saying. Now, did Peter say, repent of your sins? No, he didn't say anything like that. He said, repent and be baptized for the remission. If you look up remission, it's the removal of your sin. It's through baptism, your sin is removed. It's through genuine repentance and baptism that your sin is removed from you. Now let's think about that for just a second. The word repentance, we've heard often it simply means change your mind. But I think it's a little deeper and more powerful than that when you look it up and really break down the word. It's a Greek word, it's a compound word, that's metaneo, and what it means is to perceive. Like we have, how do you perceive this? How do you see it? It's perceive, and then the second word is afterwards. So we have a word that means to perceive afterwards. How do you see it afterward or after something, along with something or after something? I think to really be clear It would mean to perceive something differently after something has taken place. That is the proper definition of genuine metanoeo, genuine repentance, is to perceive differently after something has taken place. At least in the Greek, there were like two or three words for repent in the Old Covenant, and one of them actually did literally mean to turn away from sin or to turn to God. But in the New Testament, metanoeo is a different type of word. When Jesus came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you look up at hand, it literally means at within arm's reach. It's here right now. Now, Jesus is the kingdom of God. He is. That's why he's the right-hand seat life. He is the kingdom of God. Jesus is. So when Jesus, even when John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he was talking about Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way for Jesus. And Jesus came saying, repent, metanoeo, perceive everything differently after I have showed up, because the kingdom of God is now here. I'm within arm's reach. And he also said the kingdom of God is within you. This life of Christ is for us. This life of Christ is the kingdom of God, and it's for us. We can have it because at the foundation of the world, he was crucified. Amen. But now he had come to say, listen, perceive everything differently now after the cross. And then Peter, when they said, how can we be saved? Peter says, perceive everything differently now because of the cross, and be baptized for your sins to be eradicated and removed from you. Now here we need to focus on baptism, because we have that in between repent and your sin is removed. He didn't say repent of your sins or stop sinning or turn away from sin. He didn't say that. He said repent and be baptized. Now getting baptized is identifying with Jesus's death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. That's what baptism is. It's not really taught real clear in many places. Many people say it's a public profession of your faith. But what does that even mean? It is actually specifically identifying with the death of Jesus, with the burial of Jesus, and with the resurrection of Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can really help you to do that. And he does that through leading you to genuine repentance. Genuine change of perception. You begin to see it differently as the Holy Spirit reveals to you what Jesus did. And what the Holy Spirit will show us is what Jesus was trying to show us the whole time he was here, is that all of us come short of God's glory. But what does that mean? Not a single one of us is righteous. Not one. There is not even a single one of us that does good. Even if we have the Holy Spirit, even if we fast and pray and go to church and try to do everything God wants us to do, they had all of that in the Old Covenant. Even if we do those things, we cannot do anything that is truly righteous or truly good. That's what Romans said. There is none that even does good, not even one. Not one. There's none righteous. None. The Holy Spirit wants to help us to see this. He wants to help us to understand that none of us are good. That's why Jesus became us. He became our sin on that cross. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Vitally, vitally important. We don't just, you know, magically become the righteousness of God. The only righteousness we have is in Jesus Christ. If we're not walking in his life, we're certainly not walking in righteousness. But we need to get this. We need to grasp this. This is very, very different than stop sinning for God and make him the Lord of your life. That's not the gospel. It's not it. And it will not genuinely deliver us. As Romans chapter 10 teaches, that's also where they get that from, make Jesus Lord of your life. Because Paul taught, he said, the new covenant's different than the old. In the old, The old was given to the life of the first Adam. It was commandments to tell him what to do and what not to do. And if he was obedient, then he would live. That's how the old covenant works. But he tells us in Romans 10, the new covenant doesn't work like that. The way that the new covenant works is we do not say in our hearts who's going to be good enough to go to heaven or who's bad enough to go to hell. We don't say that anymore. What do we say? We confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. We believe in our spirit that God raised him from the dead, and by doing this we will be genuinely delivered, healed, set free, and made whole. But we need to understand that, what does it mean that God raised Jesus from the dead? That resurrection is the new man. That's the life that we're to walk in. If it's all through the teaching of the New Covenant Scriptures. It's walking in the life of Jesus and the power of his resurrection. It's walking in the newness of life, his life. When we believe that God raised him from the dead, then we believe in this life that is Lord of all that God has given to us if we will reject our own life, which is what baptism is all about. Baptism's about rejecting the life of Adam. We all died. We had to die so that we could receive a new life. So in Romans 10, when we're genuinely persuaded in our spirit in the resurrection of Jesus, understanding what he accomplished at the cross, and we use our mouth to declare that this life of Jesus is Lord of all. It doesn't have anything to do, that scripture doesn't have anything at all to do with you making Jesus the Lord of your life. I've said it many times, but we really need to understand, Jesus did not come to be Lord of your life. He came to crucify your life. He came to become your life and put it to death once and for all so that we can have access to his life, his righteous life. So the only true gospel, friend, is what he preached. Deny yourself. Turn away from your life. If you don't hate the life of your mother and father and brother and sister and wife and children and yes, your own, then you cannot be a disciple of the life of the last Adam. You can't love both lives. You can't have both lives. You have to know how corrupt the life we all have is, and you have to fully and completely reject it. And whenever you really do and you believe in the life of Jesus, you confess what it is and you cling to it, and you know it's our only hope and it's our only salvation, it's our only way. Not believing in Jesus, believing in the life of the Father called Jesus. It's not believing in a figure that's up in heaven. It's believing in the righteous life of God that is Jesus Christ. It's the only hope. It's our only salvation. It's the only way to the Father, the life of Jesus. Not becoming a Christian, trying to serve Jesus, praying Jesus forgive us for our sins, not trying to stop sinning and ask Jesus what we're supposed to do. That's not it. That's not it at all. It's walking in his life, and we can only do that by rejecting our own life. And man, the real gospel is beautiful, but it is very, it's not good. How can I word it? It is not good news to the natural man. It's at the end of us. There, and no natural man will like the gospel that you are totally corrupt. You can never produce anything good. The only person who will like the gospel is someone who's tried to be good and they failed over and over and over again. That's the only human being who will like the good news, because the good news is to those who have tried to be righteous and they have failed. The law prepares us for the good news. There's no other truth there is. When you look in the scripture, that's the truth. The old covenant was a schoolmaster to take us by the hand and lead us to the only life that is righteous. The commandments did not bring about righteousness. It revealed our iniquity. So the only people ready for Jesus, that's why he came to the Jews. The only people ready for Jesus are those who've had the law. They've done everything they can to try to be righteous, and they have miserably failed, and they have seen that they can't do it. And then God has good news for us. But it's not good news until you've went through the law. This is why many people are preaching false gospels, because they say, hey, the gospel is good news. Good news. It's not good news that you got to reject yourself. Jesus didn't come to replace us. He came because he loves us. He wants to embrace us. That's false, friend. All of that's completely false. And they're teaching those false things based on believing, hey, the gospel's good news. But it's not good news to the natural man who hasn't exasperated his strength in an effort to be righteous. It's not good news. You don't just walk up to somebody who's never tried to really be righteous by following God's commandments and say, God loved you so much he died for you, now you just believe in Jesus, you get to go to heaven. That is not the good news. The good news is, even though you could not produce God's righteousness, there is a life that can. That's the good news. That God put your life to death because it's evil and it's corrupt. Nobody will like to hear that until they know that they are their worst enemy. We are our worst enemy, not Satan. Whenever we really know that everything we try to do, we mess it up. When we really know that we're not righteous at all, and no matter what we do is not righteous, and whatever we touch, we corrupt. The more we see it, the more it's revealed to us, the more the good news is actually good news. It's wonderful news. Man, when I began to understand the real thing, it was wonderful, wonderful news to my spirit. It was terrible news to my flesh, because my life, I wanted my life. I wanted God to bless my life. So when I began to really understand it, it made me mad. You know, he wasn't here to bless my life. He wasn't going to give me what I wanted. And I had to quit taking all them scriptures out of context to try to make him do it, because he wasn't going to do it. And everything I thought that I was going to produce something good, everything turned out it wasn't good. And so it was very frustrating, you know, very dark, you know, very discouraging and disappointing. But to understand that he put me to death already, and I don't have to accomplish righteousness, I have to believe in the righteousness of God that is in Christ, and I have to turn away from my own life. And that's the only way to be saved, to be delivered, to be healed, to be set free, is to believe what happened at the cross. He became me. Jeff died. Whoever you are, you died. Put your name there. You died. God didn't have to die to inherit the kingdom. You did. You died. Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? And did God raise you from the dead? That's a misconception. The old man stays in the grave if we really believe the truth. The only life that came out of that tomb was the life of the last Adam. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. This is not God blessing your life. This is not God making your life righteous. No, it's God giving you the righteous life of Jesus. It's a brand new life that you've never had before. And the only way you can walk in it is by seeing what's wrong with your natural life and rejecting it. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. It's not something you do once. It's something you do every day. You reject your own life. But it's tough. Paul, if you really study the scriptures, like where Paul's thorn of the flesh, or how he despaired of life when they were in Asia. If you really study the scriptures, when we are weak, he says, in my weakness, God's strength is made perfect. When you study the scripture, you find that the path to being able to walk in the life of Jesus, the power of his resurrection, is the weakening and the despair of the natural man, where you find out He is the way and not you. Paul said he despaired of life, but it happened so he wouldn't trust in himself, but in the power of the resurrection, in the God who raises the dead. And so it's always the same pattern. It's the end of you is the beginning of walking in his life. And so we've got to get this real gospel. The real gospel is not stop sinning and make Jesus Lord of your life, and now that you have the Holy Spirit, he can help you be obedient. That is not the real gospel. The Holy Spirit's not here to help you be obedient. The Holy Spirit's here to show you the obedience of Jesus Christ. He's here to show you what he accomplished. And if you'll hate your own life, friend, you won't have to try to be obedient. If you'll hate your life to gain his, if you'll hate your life for his sake, then you'll begin to access the true life of Jesus. And there won't be an effort to try to be obedient in your old life. That's the old covenant. You'll be believing and you'll be confessing and you'll be entering into the power of his resurrection. Oh my goodness. May God give us grace to truly understand and grasp what the genuine new covenant is. Amen. What the genuine gospel is. Death, burial, and resurrection. Praise God. May God open our eyes to it in the marvelous name of Jesus. Amen. You have a wonderful day today. Praise the Lord.